Genesis. Again, it's a very controversial chapter. I've ministered this before because a gentleman in Africa had asked me to explain something he didn't understand about the giants and everything. So we're going to go through and look at it again, and hopefully I've got a better insight than I had before. Okay? And it began to pass, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took to them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and then they bared children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe man off, or I will destroy man from the face that whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall you make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shall you make in the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall you make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you shall I establish my covenant, and you shall come to the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall bring into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing in the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to make them alive. To keep them alive, excuse me. And take you unto thee all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to you, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, back to the first verse. Next week we'll get into the sevens, Bob. Okay? Okay. It came to pass when Adam began to multiply. The word men here is Adam, 120 in the Hebrew, in the Strong's Dictionary. Okay? When they began to increase, not multiply, but increase on the face, upon the face of the earth, and that word is Adama, the root word is Adam, that's where Adam came from, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now the sons of God, you know what the word God here is? It's Elohim, the sons of Elohim, the sons of the first fruit, saw the daughters of Adam, that they were, because they were what? It says fair, doesn't it? But the language says something different here. It says they were, because they were agreeable to the senses. Now what do you think we're talking about? the soul, the soulish senses, you know, the taste, touch, hearing, seeing, smelling, all that. But it was talking about the soulish side. To their souls, it was, see, they were being satisfied in their soul, not in spirit, but in soul. It was a fleshly thing they were doing. And they took those wives, took to wife all that they chose. And the Lord said, the Lord here now, this word Lord is different from the word God in the preceding verse. This is Yahweh. And God, this is the Father speaking. The Father said, My spirit shall not always strive with Adam. I know this has been taught that this was talking about humanity. This is not talking about all of humanity. He said, I'm not going to strive with Adam forever. Adam did his thing and he's going to reap what he sowed and his time is coming. It's not that people live 120 years old. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about Adam was going to live another 120 years, okay? It's going to be another 120 years before Adam dies, and Adam died 120 years later, okay? He was dealing with one man there. He said, My spirit shall not always strive with Adam. He is what? What's it say there? He is flesh. Literally it says, because he is sinful flesh. I'm not going to deal with that flesh because it's sinful. I'm going to deal with another 120 years and then you're done. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And that's what he's saying. 120 years from now, Adam, you're going to die. Your sinful flesh and that flesh is going to die. Not talking about his spirit, but talking about his flesh is going to die. And said there were giants in the land. The word giant here, does anybody know what the word is? It's the word Nephil. A lot of times, Nephil. N-E-P-H-I-Y-L. It's number 5303 in your Strong's. And it said there were giants. This word giant, Nephil, should say bullies or tyrants. Okay? And the root word of this is 5307, which means to fall. See, there were some fallen sons. There were some people who had already went away from God because man's heart's continually evil. They were already separated from God, so they went into their soulish realms and started doing whatever was right in their own eyes. Okay? They were doing their own thing. They weren't doing what...
When were they ever connected?
When they were created. In 2:7, remember, when Adam was created, the Spirit was put into man. That's where God was connected with man. And they started separating and going their own ways. They didn't have any communication yet, but the Spirit of God was within them. No man could have life without the Spirit of God in them. And so there were giants in the earth, okay? These bullies or tyrants, where are they at? They're in the earth. That's inside of us. And those days, even after that, there were some still bullies in the land. You know what? There's still some giants in the land. There's some tyrants in our land today. The carnal mind. It's still in the land today. When the sons of who? Elohim. It's not saying Yahweh. It's the sons. Yeah, sure.
That's what you meant?
Yeah, it's in here. Okay. It was always in here. This is a parable, and we're talking about it's the big things in our mind that's giving us this troubles. Sure it is. Sure it is. But the sons of Elohim were introduced to the daughters of men. When it says came in unto them, it literally says they were introduced to the daughters or the soulish side of Adam. Okay. Now when the soulish side, the sons of Elohim were introduced to the soulish side, wonder what's going to happen. Now we've got the Spirit of God and the spirit of the soul of man all being mixed together. What have we got? We've got duality, we've got temptation, we've got every kind of mess you could think of because they were introduced to them. Now, did it say that God didn't want them introduced? He didn't say that, did he? Everything that's happened here is laid out in a pattern because God set everything up. The book says many times that his plans and purposes will prevail. It's not by accident that these things happen. God set up something. There's snares before us. And some people's going to step in the snares and some aren't. That's all about God, isn't it? He set this whole thing up. And it said, when they came into the souls of Adam, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, And literally it says they were tyrants. What the soul produces is something that's a tyrant and a bully in your life. It tries to take over. Anything that you create on your own, guess what it's going to be? Trouble to you, because you created it. Which were always men of reputation. And the book says that we are supposed to be men of no reputation, correct? See, Jesus was a man of no reputation. And what we do when we take the God side in us and start blending our soulish thoughts, our sensual thoughts, we're going to come up with giants. And it's the things in our head that we've created. And they're always going to be someone that is a man of renown, of reputation. And when the soulish side gets working, you're always going to try to create a reputation for yourself. There's the downfall of most of humanity. They get a hold of the truth of God, and then they want to become elite because they know something about God. Knowledge is a gift of God. It's self again. See, they put that soulish side in there and mix it up. It's the soulish side of man who wants to be better than somebody else. Why do I want to be superior to anyone? I don't. But God says He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't see me any different. He sees anybody else. You can only be one or two things in God. You can be obedient or you can be disobedient. Isn't that right? There's nothing better or worse than anything. It's obedient or disobedient. And you know the things that God uses? God uses negatives, doesn't He? But you know the people that God uses for negative are more obedient than the people that's supposed to be doing the good things. If God turns loose somebody negative on you, they're good at it. I'm going to promise you that. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. Pharaoh was a good negative man. Judas Iscariot did exactly what God wanted. He didn't say, nope, I ain't going to do it, did he? Jesus said, whatever you got to do, go do it quickly. He jumped up and went and done it. Did he argue with him about doing it? That's the amazing side to me. The negative side is more... Sure.
You know,
but it's not right, is it? It's not right, but they do it.
Anybody gets it, you know, the money, the wealth, the prestige, the power, they all do it.
They all succumb to it.
They all have a good example to follow it from. That's the Catholic Church. They show them how to do it.
Sure. Well, that's where it all started from. That was the first one. Now let's look at verse 5 now. And God, this word God is Yahweh again. And God saw that the wickedness of Adam was great in the earth. He didn't say on the earth. He said it in here. Jesus continually alluded to that the heart of man is continually evil. Jeremiah said that. Jesus said that all the evil things come out of the heart of man, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Every evil thing comes out of the heart of humanity. And he saw that the heart was evil, okay? Look what he says. That wickedness of Adam was great in the earth, and that every, what? Imagination of the thoughts of his heart, his mind, was only, or literally, it was limited to evil. It was limited to evil continually or all day long. All day long, as long as we're awake or our mind is functioning, it's thinking about evil things. That's why he says the heart of man is. Okay? But he said every imagination... Wonder what that's talking about. Every imagination of the thoughts of his mind was continually or limited to evil. What do you think he's talking about? Imaginations. The cherubim. The cherubim of Genesis 3. Remember that? He takes them and does what? Protects the Holy of Holies until they're ready to come back. They're not permitted to come in because of this thing up here. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, which we're not doing that most of the time. If we took every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, tell me what kind of an upheaval you'd have in your life. You wouldn't have any. The only time that you have an upheaval in your life is when you do not take the thoughts captive and your mind begins to run. When that woman in your mind begins to play with things. She takes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See? When we get to that point, we create all the problems we have. But if we would be faithful to Him and obedient and say, I'm not going there, I'm not going there, I don't care, I'm not going there. I do it all the time. Things tempt me every day. I just speak out loud to it. I am not going there. Sometimes when I have the hillbilly running in me, I say, I ain't going there. See? Doesn't make any difference how you say it, but you address it. You take that thought captive. Somebody does something that seems to offend you. I ain't going there. See? I'm sorry, I'm not going to get there. Well, speak to that thing. You know, talk to the mountain in your life that's giving you a problem. Be ye removed. Say, I ain't going there. I audibly speak to it. I don't care what anybody... Some people probably think I'm nuts riding down the road when I'm talking to myself sometimes. But we have somebody going down the road singing. You know, you can't tell what they're doing. You know, but I'm talking to the things that are accusing me. I'm talking to that accuser and saying, I ain't going there. Sorry, I'm not going to do it. But you've got to do this yourself. That's what this pattern is laid out for you to understand. You've got to take this control. God's given you every tool. He said all power and authority was given unto him, true or false. He said, I'm going to give it to you now. You've got the power and authority over all of it. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to listen to that woman running in your head, screaming and yelling, saying, you've got a right to be mad? Or are you going to say, I'm not going there. I choose to walk in peace and serenity of Christ. Or do I want to have my way? And I think it's Yahweh and not my way. Right? See, so that's what we got to understand. So he says that the heart is always wicked, filled with every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was continually evil all day long. And it repented. And the word repented is not a good choice of words. It grieved Yahweh because he had made Adam from the earth. And it grieved him in his heart, his mind. He said, why did I do it? Because Adam wouldn't pay any attention. Is it any different today? Is it any different today? Do you think that God, if he was in the same situation, wouldn't say, if you were the first person on the earth, he wouldn't say the same thing? He's grieved me. Could be, couldn't it? Because we're all out of the same mold. We all came through the same bloodline. And the Lord said, that's Yahweh again, I will wipe Adam, whom I have formed, not created, formed, from the face of the earth, both Adam and what? From the surface of the earth, the same as beast, okay? The same word there is beast. The man and beast, and the fowls of the air. Oh, it says creeping thing, I missed that. And the creeping thing should be reptiles. And the reptiles and the fowls of the air, because it grieves me that I have made them. Doing that verse again, the whole thing? Okay. And the Lord said, I will wipe Adam, whom I have formed from the face of the earth, okay, from the surface of the earth, man, that's Adam, and beast, the same as beast, words are the same, and the reptile, and the fowls of the air, because it grieves me that I have made them. He said everything he made except for one person, Noah. Noah. And Noah's name means what?
Rest.
He found somebody that trusted in him. Noah was called rest because he wasn't shook up. Noah had enough peace in his life that he could sit and wait on God. Noah preached for 400 years while he was building this ark. Never saw a drop of rain. You tell me this man isn't walking in faith. God says to him, you go build a boat because it's going to rain. In 400 years, there had not been a drop of rain. And he says, you go build a boat. And in this boat, you're going to survive this big flood. What in the world is a flood? In 400 years, you've never seen rain. How would you even comprehend or picture in your mind what a flood was? Tell me that man isn't walking by faith. Because he surely couldn't put anything to his mind to talk about a flood, could he? No idea. He believed what God said. And he said here, and because all the details aren't here, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Correct? Every detail is not written down in this book. The Spirit will fill some things in for you. Your common sense will fill things in for you. But Noah found grace. That literally means favor or acceptance in the eyes of Yahweh. He found favor, acceptance, and grace. Now, what do you think got him the acceptance and grace? He was at rest, he was in peace, and he was obedient to do what God told him. Now, what do you think you got to do to be accepted in God's eyes? Just be who God has created you to be. Follow God, what He tells you to do, and be at peace in it. See? Be comfortable with who you are. Today in our society, everybody wants changed. Some people want more hair. Some people want less hair. Some people go have hair taken off their body. Others have hair transplanted on their body. Some people want this part chopped off smaller. Some want to make them bigger. You know? What's the deal? No one is confident in who God has made them or what He's made them. Are they? They're more in tune with the soulish side than they are with God. What do I care what this vessel looks like? It's fitted for destruction. It's going back to the dust from where it came. So I can put all the thousands of dollars I want in plastic surgery, but it's still going to die. If I'm 80 years old and somebody can take this plastic surgery and make me look 60 years old, it still doesn't make me any younger. I'm only deceiving myself and chasing this vanity around the earth trying to make me look pleasing to someone else. Well, if they don't like looking at me, turn their head. That's all I can tell them, because I'm not changing anything. I'll tell you what, look inside of me and see what you see. That's what you need to tell them. Say, you don't look good. Well, look inside of me. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the dirt. You're looking at the earth. That's not important. It's what's inside of you. It's the Christ in you. Okay? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Found favor and acceptance. And then it goes on and says, these are the generations of Noah. And you know what's amazing? When he told the generations of Noah, he told more about Noah's character than he did anything else. Look what he says. Noah was a just man or a righteous man. And he was perfect. The word perfect literally means innocent. He was innocent in his age. And Noah walked with Elohim. Now that's a generation. That's his genealogy. Man, you talk about a good one. Now this is what God is saying about a man. You know what? It's yours too. All you got to do is be obedient and walk in peace, isn't it? See, you're already blood of His blood, bone of His flesh, of His flesh, and bone of His bone. You're Him. You created from Him.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. People say that, but you know, the people that tell me I have arrived and I'm obedient and everything to God, they just lied to me again. How can they be perfect if they just lied to me? Because no one is perfect in all obedience.
You walk in
progressively.
Not
critical eyes. And you see flaws everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saying words, when you say you have to walk it, when I say you have to walk it, I'm saying there's no other way to get there. And Jesus made the statement, I am the way. I am the road. Nobody can get there except through me. Correct? So I'm just saying you have to walk this course if you're going back to God on this positive side. You've got to go here. There's no option. I'm not saying you have to do it or else. I'm just saying if you're going to have peace in your life while you're on this earth, you've got to walk this course. Okay? That's what you have to do. I'm not saying it as a law. I'm not trying to make you say this is rules and regulations. I'm just saying by the pattern of the Scriptures, I have to walk the same walk that He walked. Because I can't go the same place you're going if I take a different course. Can I? If we're all going to the same destination, we all got to take the same course, don't we? We got to walk through the same patterns. And that's what I'm saying. Okay? And Noah begat three sons. And that's the end of his generations. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You remember what they mean? Shem means honor and authority and character. Literally, he's a man of renown. Ham means hot, heat, or brown. And Japheth means opened or expansion. Okay? Again, it represents the three covenants, the dust, the sand, and the stars. It represents the three Feast, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. First, second, and third days. Okay? And the earth was corrupt before or in the presence of God, Elohim. And the earth was filled with what? Violence and injustice. Now, he's not talking about the earth that you stand on. He's talking about the mind of humanity, because it's in the earth, isn't it? The mind of humanity is filled with injustice and violence. You don't have to teach a little kid to hit somebody, do you? If they get angry at them, the first thing they do is flail at them and hit them. Even I'm talking little tiny babies. They'll hit each other. And you know that kid wasn't taught that. It's instinct in the natural flesh to defend yourself. Did Jesus defend himself when he was being persecuted? See? There's the nature of God overriding, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because in the natural, he had every right to defend himself because he did nothing wrong. But he still chose to not defend himself. I'll do what my Father asked me to do. I'll say what he tells me to say, and I will not change and defend myself in any of it. Do you realize how hard that is to do? If it was easy, everybody would be lined up in that line, I'm going to tell you. They'd love to be there. But that natural, that giant that's created in our mind, them Nephilim, them things, them bullies, them tyrants in our mind try to take over our life every chance they get. Boy, you turn your thinking off just for a second and watch what happens. Watch them imaginations take off in your head. Why do you think God said in the New Testament, through his writers, that a man and woman should come together quickly, they shouldn't deny each other themselves, their bodies, except for prayer and fasting, and then come together quickly so that they wouldn't be tempted of who? Satan. Why do you think he tells you that? Because as soon as you're away from anybody, if a man and woman are away from each other, what's the first thing that goes on in her head? What's he doing? What's she doing? Who is she talking to? Who's she seeing? What's she doing? What's he talking to? See, that's the cherubim running in our minds. You think that's a coincidence? It's the same thing he's teaching us right here. The minds and thoughts are always evil and they're going the wrong direction. What do you got to do with that woman? Slap her in the mouth and tell her to shut up. See, take that thought captive. I'm talking about this woman up here in my head. My soul, my emotions, my cherubim. Okay? So it's always full of violence and injustice in the presence of God. And Elohim saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Not again talking about this big globe we're walking on. He's talking about the mind of man. Because all, see, and immediately he says, all flesh had corrupted what? Their course of life upon the earth. They had all corrupted their course of life. You know how they corrupted the course of life? It wasn't going out and slaying their brother. It was what they did in their head. It was what they thought in their minds. There's the problem. If we don't take control of this thing in our head, we can go to church from now till the cows come home. It doesn't make any difference. Going to church won't change your mind if you don't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, going to church won't help you if you don't change the way you think. As we come together, there's no rules and regulations that I make upon anybody. God's already wrote all we need to know. All we got to do is learn what God said, and it'll change your thoughts. We're changed, like Jesus said, we're washed by the water of the Word. If we take this Word in you, like Jesus said in John 8, if you continue in my Word, you'll be my disciplined ones indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What do you think it's setting you free from? The self, the thinking in your mind, the evil thoughts. Okay? But you got to stay in this Word to do it. You're born again by an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. The only thing that will change your thinking process is this thinking process. Just like the law of physics says, two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. They can sit side by side, but they can't occupy the same space. So something has to go. And again, in the Gospels, Jesus said, the axe is laid near the root of the tree. You've got to pick up the axe and cut that root off. You've got to take the thoughts captive. You've got to do something. The bride has to make herself ready, according to Scripture. Okay? And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is what? Brought before me. Okay? Brought before me. Because the earth is filled with violence and injustice through them, the people. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now he gives him some instructions. This is what I want you to do. I want you to make you an ark of gopher. And if you look in the and study that out, as Bob has done on some of this, it also says it could be the cypress tree. Okay? It could be the cypress tree. And he said, you want to make rooms or chambers or cells shall you make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, I want you to understand what this word pitch means. It says you shall pitch it within. The word is kafar. And it's the same word that's used for atonement and reconciliation. Kafar. It means atonement and reconciliation. So he's got an ark. 37:22 in the Hebrew dictionary. Okay, so he says you take this ark, and it's made out of cypress wood or gopher wood, and it's wood and it's pitched on the inside and on the outside. Do you know what that is? It's atonement. It's the reconciliation. You're covered on the inside and the outside with Christ. His blood is upon us, isn't it? It's within us. We're covered. We are the ark of God. Know you not you're the tabernacle of the living God? What, beg pardon? No, this is the atonement of Christ. He died and shed his blood for us. We're covered with his blood now. That's the covering. The word pitch here means atonement or reconciliation. We're atoned inside and outside. So that's total reconciliation. I'm reconciled to God, right? Because of what he did, not what I did. My leg's getting better. That didn't even hurt. I kicked with my right leg. It felt good. Okay. Now, he said you're going to pitch it within and without with what? Now, the word pitch there doesn't really do it. Literally, it means the ransom or the covering or the price of life. You're going to do it with the price of a life is what it says. Well, you know what price of life that was? That was him hanging on a tree. Him on the tree. Do you get the picture? Look at me. He was hanging on a piece of wood. What do you think the ark's made out of? And you're going to be covered with his blood. His cost of his life was hanging on that wood. You know what? It's still today the same price. His life hanging on a piece of wood with his love. It ain't held there with nails. It ain't held there with anything. It was just put on the outside of it, smeared on with some kind of man-made humble-looking brush and smeared on the outside or a stick, smeared it on, and it never ran off. It's how it's held together. You want to know how the ark was held together? By the love of God. For the love of his humanity, he held us together by what he set forth. I don't know the intricate parts of the engineering. I'm not concerned with that. But I know how he held my reconciliation together and yours too. And it was his love that held him on the tree, not a nail. It wasn't a bunch of glue or something, but it was his love. And in this fashion which thou shalt make it, the length. And this word length, you know what it means? Time or self-restraint of the ark shall be 300 cubits. A cubit is what's known as 18 inches from the elbow to the finger, 18 inches. 300 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. Do you know what that tells me? There was three there. 300, three. All three realms are covered. How many levels was there in the ark? You think that's a coincidence? Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. I don't care how you slice it or dice it. It's there. Sand, dust, sand, and stars. It's all there. Okay? And the breadth of it, or the width of it, shall be 50. You know how far this message of reconciliation reaches? 50. It's the width of it. How wide is it? It's wide enough to cover all, isn't it? It's reconciliation. It's kafar. It's atonement. It's reconciliation. So it's 50 cubits wide. And the height of it is 30. What does 30 represent? Maturity. It's a generation. Okay? Basically maturity. And you got to put a window. Shall you make it in the ark? What do you think this window is? It's a light. He said, I am the light that lights every man that comes into this world. Right? It's the noonday light according to the scriptures, what this language says. It's a noon light. It's to let the noonday sun in, the high sun into you. Because the sun couldn't do much coming at an angle. But at noon, it's straight overhead, it can light your way. If it's right over top of your head, it can light your way. Okay? Not coincidence, that's just the way it is. And it says, there's a window in it, you shall make in it to a cubit, shall you finish it, above. Literally, it shouldn't say it that way. Let me say it a better way. And to within a cubit shall you finish it overhead. It's got to be overhead so you can do any good. And the door of the ark you shall set in the side. You know what door he's talking about? If the ark was Christ, what door do you think he cut in the side? It's a perfect semblance of when he was on the cross and that Roman soldier jabbed a spear in there, and what came out of that thing? Blood and water, which represented the birth of humanity in Christ right there. See, putting the woman back to the man. And that's why the door was cut in the side. Do you think that's a coincidence? Anybody that believes that's a coincidence, they need their head examined. There's no coincidence in anything God's doing. It's all put in here as a parable. He said, thereof, with lower, right? Second and third stories. Well, you know what that word lower speaks of? It'll blow your mind what this word means. Womb. A womb. And see, in the lower realm, that's where the womb is. In the flesh realm, the lowest realm. That's where you're birthed out of. You can't come to Tabernacles without coming through Passover and Pentecost. And I'm not talking about church organizations that call themselves Passover, Pentecost, or anything else. I'm talking about your experience with God. You have to be birthed through the Word of God in your Passover experience. You have to come to Pentecost, and you have to go to Tabernacles if you're going to fulfill everything. Okay? But there's three stories or cells shall you make it. Three different levels, all for different types of animals, I guarantee you. I guarantee you the elephants weren't on top. Because the ones below wouldn't have made it if they had been. The little birds flying up there don't make near as much mess as an elephant would. See? So you have to use your common sense in it. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth. Again, I can't express any more than what I have already, that this is a parable. And when he says, I bring a flood upon the earth, whether there was a literal flood or not is not my concern. If there was a flood, it's over, thank God. It's water of the Word. It's a flood of the Word that he's going to bring on this earth. And the truth of this Word, you don't think it bothers people as much as a flood. You go tell them about how much God loves all people and he's going to bring all people back to him, and you'll watch a flood of fire come off of those people. They're going to be mad. They'll spit at you. They'll sputter at you. They'll want to kill you. They'll want to fight you because they want their devils and demons. They want a justification for being mad at somebody. What right do I have to be mad at anybody? I have no right to be mad at anybody, no matter what they do. They're only doing what God programmed them to do. He made their heart, didn't he? Said he created the waster to destroy. So it's up to him. And I have no right to contradict what God is doing. I'm just going to say amen to everything he does. Whether I like it or not, it's not important. But he said, I do bring a flood of the word upon the earth. That's on the flesh. And he says, to destroy what? I bring a flood to destroy the flesh. The flood of the word is the only thing that will destroy the flesh. But the amazing thing about it destroyed all the flesh, but it saved 8 souls. Didn't it? In Peter, it said all but 8 were destroyed. 8 souls were saved. The new beginning, you want a new beginning? Let the flood come on. Ask God for the flood. Wherein is the breath of life, literally the spirit of life, from under heaven. And everything that is earth shall die. Not in the earth, that is in the earth, but it should say everything that is earth shall die. What's it saying? The same thing he said above when he said he's going to destroy all flesh. What is flesh? It's the earth, right? So So he's going to say everything that's there, this earth, is going to die. Guess what? Spirit cannot die. What is the fear of us dying? People running around scared to death of dying every day. Every day. Oh, I might die today. Well, how about living your life? If you'd live your life like you really thought you was going to die, you'd be getting the most out of it, wouldn't you? You should live every day like this is my last day. Because it's the only one guaranteed to you. Today's the one you got. That's it. No guarantee on tomorrow. But everybody's scared of dying. If the church world was preaching the truth and they really believed that they were tied into God, why do you think all the people that think they're tied into God are scared to death of dying? I sat and watched them die and watched them draw their last breath. And they'd give anything if they could draw one more breath. Let me go. When it comes time, let me go. God's got this thing set up. Man's trying to figure out some way to extend it. You can't extend it any farther than what he wants it. You can have all the doctors in the world, all the equipment in the world sitting right on top of you, and it's time, boom, you're gone. Nothing they can do about it. What difference does it make? When you die, you're going back to God. What's wrong with that? Because it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. See, they don't want to face God because they still got fear in their mind because they've never come to peace with him now. You come to peace with God now, you'll never have a problem facing him whenever time comes. You'll be looking forward to it. They've never had a relationship. They've had some cheerleader up here in front of the building trying to tell them how to live their lives when this one's hiding his own guilt and shame and everything he's doing and telling you how bad you are and don't look at me. And if I can point at you enough, maybe you won't look at me. That's all they're doing. I don't care what people look at my life. I don't care how they judge me because it's none of their concern because their judgment doesn't count. The only judgment that counts is the one the Father has put upon me. And I've read this book more than once. Contrary to some people, I have read this book more than once, a whole bunch more than once. And you know what? I studied it. And it says that we're holy, we're righteous, we're unblameable, we're not guilty, we're sons of God. Now tell me what's bad about that. Tell me what's bad about that. So they can condemn me all they want. But you know what? I'm not listening. I'm taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm taking the thought captive that someone is putting into my head. They're not God, and I don't want them. I'm not going there. Just kick them aside. Don't listen to them. You know who you are. God's created. You can hear God speak in your own mind. You can deal with God on your own basis. That's what this book is trying to teach you. You can hear God. You deal with it. Don't let someone tell you how to live your life. You do it. Okay? Verse 18. But with you will I establish the covenant. Who is you? It's you and me. It's whoever's sons of God, okay? Who are truly obedient sons. That's the ones that's going to have the covenant with them. And you shall come to the ark, you, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. There's three realms there. There's your generations right there, all of them again. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring to the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Now, to keep things going, you got to keep a male with a female. I don't think I have to say a whole lot more than that, do I, with the generation things going on this generation? Male to male and female to female? He said it's male to female if you're going to keep it going. Otherwise, it's going to come to an end somewhere. Something's going to happen. And I'll let him take care of that. I'm not judgmental about it. Of fowls after their kind, after their own species. See, he didn't say he wanted crows and redbirds mating together, did he? He didn't say he wanted dogs and horses mating together. See? It's not about race or color or something or creed or anything like that. It's about humans to humans, male to female. That's what he's talking about. And all these other species, if it's a red bird, he wants a female red bird to go with the male red bird to continue the species. He's not talking about, don't mix the species. You know, the male and female is what he's talking about. Keep it male to female. He said, they of fowls after their kind or species, of cattle after their species, of every reptile on the earth after his species, two of every sort shall come unto you to keep them alive. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You want to keep the species alive? You better keep a male and female together. You know, you don't see two male birds trying to mate out here, do you? Don't see two male cats out here trying to mate. Then what in the world went wrong with humanity? He said, if you won't believe the truth in Thessalonians, I'll send you a great delusion. You'll believe the lie. Romans, he said, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind if that's what you... It's amazing to me why everybody wants to put their name on a stone and set it up. He obeyed God. Here lies the man that obeyed God. They're going to say, well, he died. Yep, so did everybody else. That's just the flesh, the first death. No. He said the end of all flesh. In other words, God has a view of things from the beginning to the end. And he says, I already see the end. I know what it is. It's destruction. He already sees the end of flesh. It's come before me. I know what's going to happen. This kind of mess just gets worse and worse, and it's going to destroy itself. You know, flesh is going to die. Flesh can't survive. And it says in the book, it's appointed a man that wants to die. See, we're going to pass away in this world, and I can't find anybody that didn't die in this world. Nobody. Everybody dies. So what's the big deal? Now, just we hate to think about a little child dying, but you know when that little child dies, it means they didn't have to live through all the hell we had to live through. It just means they won the race. They got there before I did. Isn't that true? Because we're all going back to God. So how we go and when we go, it's every man in his own order according to this book, isn't it? So why are we upset about what order we're chosen in? If you get chosen early, the only thing you're doing, you're going back to your Father. What is bad about that? I'm not saying go out and try to find a way to speed it up. You wait upon God and let Him do what He wants. Just let it be as God has set it. You know what? Whenever you try to wrestle with the things that God has set, rather than accepting what He said when you understand the truth of it, there's where your trouble comes in. That's when your woman starts making all these things up in your head. That's when your cherubim get real active, when you start wrestling with the things of God. Remember what he said in Peter, what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through 20? He's speaking about Paul. He said, our beloved brother Paul writes about things that's hard to be understood. Let me read that to you. Let me just read this to you. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, I believe it is. Yeah. It says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is deliverance, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do their other scriptures to their own destruction. You, beloved, therefore, seeing that you know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, we wrestle to our own destruction. If you start wrestling like Jacob did. Jacob wrestled with God in his time of ignorance. God understands that. But there's time to come out of that ignorant place. A time to come to acknowledge the truth. That season of wisdom is upon us right now. It's time to know what we're talking about and live our life in wisdom and not in ignorance. There's no reason to be ignorant today. This country has more tools available with the internet and books and everything. We've got more available to us than any time in history. The place of ignorance is a time of past. There's no excuse anymore. It's here. If you want it, it's here. And the people that don't want it will just reject it as they have all through time. Okay?